Hello and welcome to Worship Conversations, a podcast by Awakened Generation. We are a worship missions organization based in Singapore with a passion to equip and empower the church in all things worship. We are back with another Mentor Me episode where we discuss questions about life we all probably have as we desire to worship and live for the Lord. On this episode, we talk about how we can cultivate excellence within our worship teams. Let's get to it! Hi everyone, welcome back to another Mentor Me episode where we answer questions that people have about life in general.
Yes.
But we thought today we might do a more worship team-centric Mentor Me episode. So the question is, how do you cultivate excellence within a worship team? I feel like sometimes the pursuit of excellence is really just disguised for perfectionism. So what are some practical handles to ground a worship team in pursuing excellence?
I think my first thought is, like as you lead your worship ministry, you need to have a pastoral heart in all of this. Yeah, because if you're just focused on results, if you're just focused on the technicalities, and you don't talk about the heart behind it, then for sure you'll have a team that kind of falls into this place of like, oh, like it's a performance because I just have to get all the technicalities right. But if you lead the team with a pastoral heart, knowing that you have to steward the heart of the hearts of the people, meaning I think the most important thing for growing in excellence is that you have to teach and impart on what is your identity in God. Because when you're doing worship from an orphan mindset, I mean, the first thing already is that you're probably doing worship to get glory for yourself. I want to be seen. Listen to my amazing guitar solo.
Wow.
Know, it becomes a self-serving thing. And that is why...
So dangerous.
When you're leading a worship ministry, it's so important to pay attention to the hearts of the people. So it's so important to teach on who we are in God.
Yeah.
You know, because when the team and individuals in your team know that they are sons and daughters, they're adopted into the family of God, and they're valuable in God, and when you know that you're valuable, you can give generously to people, you can serve radically, you know, that is how I think the first step of moving your team into that culture of excellence instead of perfectionism.
So good. What does the pastor have to say about excellence?
No, I totally agree with Ellery's. I think again, my concept of the greenhouse, right? You know, a gardener has to be mindful, aware that every plant is different. And so, of course, the maybe the angle of every plant or every tree is that produces fruits. But different plants and different trees grow differently. And so the number one posture of a gardener is to tend to the garden's need, which is to, you know, to make sure the soil is in the right place. Are you watering it right? Are you removing weeds? And so weeds can be, you know, sense of, you know, in terms of identity issues that, you know, dealing with that. And so these are the things that there needs to be attention of awareness of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure, of course, one of the questions that might come up is, oh, what if I have a whole bunch of different people who are skillful, but yet have different, I think that's where the importance of sorting it out and making sure, okay, what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, what are their personality, what are their strength, and their, you know, there's different things that can happen. And so I think, if anything, one of the things that I remember my worship pastor once told me is that it's so important to know the pulse of your team.
Pulse.
Yeah, the pulse of your team. And so, yes, you have a vision, you have a goal to meet, but it's how do you lead them towards that as well. Wow. And what I mean by pulse is the heartbeat, the heart.
Yeah.
So it's the hardware versus the hardware, the hardware. And so, and it's going to require a lot of, I would say, not just hard work, but it requires intentionality in building relationship.
Yeah.
Because it's a ministry. If you're not relational.
Yeah, it would just be...
Then we fall back into perfectionism.
Yeah.
get the job done, you know, okay.
And, sound good.
Yeah. And then guess what happens? The sixth cycle of everybody's fearful.
Yeah.
And everybody's so caught up with that detail. Oh, we missed this part here. Yeah. So rather than...
Or like celebrity culture.
Yeah.
Where one musician gets glorified.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because of technicality.
Yeah, just because of technical skill.
And I noticed that there's also... and something that personally at Awakened Generation, we don't do. Because I know there's some worship team cultures where they like to debrief immediately after the worship set, and then the debrief actually becomes this thing that the whole team is so fearful of because they know that they're going to be called out if they made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the, you know, so the debrief session is actually a time where people can, you know, like scold one another for like missing a note or things like that.
Why you didn't do that, Bar?
Yeah, and if you do that, you will likely build very perfectionistic culture. Yeah, you will likely build performance if you do that, because you valued your team based on how they play it rather than their heart of worship while they were doing it.
Yeah, and that's the point I wanted to bring up, right? Because one thing I learned from the friends in Upper Room when we had... we went for one of their prayer sets, is that when the band came back for a debrief, the first question that was asked was, what was God doing in that room?
Yes.
And that, when I heard that, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard a debrief like that before.
Yeah.
Because when you start a question with, you know, because the tendency is, you know, even with my own worship team, like when I say, okay, let's do a debrief, like, without even asking any prompting questions, people will start to say like, oh, I made a mistake here.
Yeah,
oh my gosh. Like naturally people start to you know, really condemn themselves. Yeah. Like I made a mistake here. Or, we didn't do this. Like, I'm so sorry. I forgot, you know? And then suddenly as the team lead, suddenly I have to go like, no, come back. I'm not worried about your mistakes, because that's over and done with.
Yeah.
Like, what was God doing in that worship set? And how do you feel he was moving our team and moving the congregation? And I think once we realign people to God, I think the spirit of excellence follows, because you're looking at what's important in your team, right? And then later on, you can talk about the areas that they did well.
Yes.
Celebrating what they did well. Then, you know, looking at the feedback to grow the next time. But I think that shouldn't be like, like that should be addressed maybe at the next rehearsal, not really at the
after. Yeah, so I think maybe a leadership perspective of those leading worship ministries, it's you should have a mindset more of a coach than a boss. Yeah, so meaning that you...
performance review.
So not that. Yeah, because oftentimes worship ministry people feel that way, that their leaders are just judging them based on their technicalities, their skill, and then they feel... you know, very broken if they're not meeting those standards. And again, if you lead that way, what are you building your people? You're building a people who will become more concerned about performance rather than loving God. And so, so it's important that when we lead the team, that we have a mindset of a coach. So meaning that you are able to identify where everyone is at in terms of, yes, you know, it's important to know that there's also room for growth.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what excellence is. You're stewarding the gift that you have, and you're not too proud by saying, oh, I've already reached the maximum level. I'm already amazing. I don't need to learn anything new. Like, that's pride as well.
Yeah.
So I think we should all know that we should cultivate this humility amongst the team, knowing that we are happy and we celebrate with whatever God has done and where we're currently at, but there's actually so much more that we can grow in and to be hungry to learn. And so with the coaching mindset, you are actually seeing what are the areas in which your team can grow in, including the technicality aspect, and you provide the means in which they can grow in that.
Like joining AG school.
That's definitely one option.
And I think one of the hard things that a worship team lead will probably have to do is, Kelvin, you mentioned about knowing the pulse and the heart of all your members, is that if you do have worship team members who do begin to be very prideful and they're fueling this perfectionist culture, is to really bring alignment to those people as well. And sometimes, like, I know it's very harsh also, but... you know, we always want to, like, when someone has a gifting, we always want to immediately put them on the platform and, like, celebrate them. And I think it's great, but there's also that making sure that their character matches the level of their platform.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, they're going to get super crushed as well, like, spiritually.
Absolutely.
when, you know, things start going wrong, or you know, their pride gets the better of them. Mm. So I think as a worship team lead, there's also very important to recognize like how are certain people also coming in alignment with your heart for excellence in the team. Yeah. And placing them at the right places, bring alignment where there needs to be.
Yeah, I think especially if you're a worship leader or you know, overseer of a worship team, I think setting the tone, the culture is very important.
Yeah.
What are you going after? I think yes, being visionary is one thing, but it's also having the right core values and what we're building towards, I think it's important.
Good.
I mean, just adding to what Ellery's saying, I mean, the thing is that, don't get us wrong, debrief is a great thing, but it's the timing of when you do it is important. And we've talked about this many times that, you know, I mean, when the worship team is leading worship, you're literally ministering to the presence of the Lord, and you're bringing people into the place of encounter with the Lord. Your heart is very raw and vulnerable.
Yeah.
Is that. And so imagine if you have a debrief immediately after that.
Yeah.
You're in that place of...
Yeah.
So again, this is where you're authentic, you're vulnerable, you're open, and God is moving and so forth. And then in the midst of that, after that, straight away, you get correction. I don't know, how does it make you feel?
Horrible.
I mean, unless it is something that is really like out of place, out of line, you're being very self-centered and you're drawing attention to yourself. Yes, you need to have that conversation behind closed door and says, hey, you know what you're doing right there wasn't in the spirit of whatever that looks like. I think that's moment. But I think in a moment of that, like what Elvis shared, I think we need to celebrate what God is doing, what He's saying. And then just let it cool down a couple of days later and say, hey, by the way, let's catch up over coffee. And I think even that debrief should be, in a sense, hey, even though there are things that we need to correct, but hey, but these are things that we want to recognize that this is going great. It's about the growth part.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, having a coaching mindset helps elevate and build the team. Having a boss mindset is that you set a perfectionist standard, and they can never feel like they attain to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the flip side, because, you know, we're talking about people who are technically excellent and really good, and so then you want to move them to spirit excellence. But, you know, oftentimes in our ministries, we have this like, oh, all that matters is your heart. And then the person like sings out really out of tune during worship and plays badly consistently. So how can we move our teams towards excellence in those scenarios?
That's a very good point, because it should really, as a strong worship team, you should really walk in both the heart of worship and also the skill of worship. And and scripture does tell us to be skilled when we are leading in worship. So God will gift you and equip you with the tools for the ministry that He has called you to.
Yes.
So it would be very strange if, like, you know, you think you're called to worship ministry, but actually you're, you know, at the moment you are tone deaf or like, you know, and it's also kind of strange, like even for example, like ushering ministry, right? It would be kind of weird to put someone there who is, you know, extremely introverted or hasn't, learned to engage with people yet. And so I think it's important that when you are leading a worship ministry, like, there is absolutely nothing wrong if you have certain criteria that people need to meet in the level of skill, because as a leader, you are stewarding the ministry. Yeah. So it's not just, you know, like, oh, like, it's all, you know, like, it's okay, like, whatever, whatever you have, you know, even if you, like, are singing completely off pitch.
Yeah,
because you're not stewarding the other side of leading your worship ministry, because, again, there's two. There's the heart and there's also the skill.
Yeah,
so, of course, there is a basic criteria.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, things like, you know, they should sing on pitch. There's a basic level of knowing how to play an instrument. Doesn't have to be like the best, but, you know, they can play chords and they can follow the chords.
Yeah.
And I think before, I think it's important that you set the tone
yeah.
for what your worship ministry is after. And so when people apply or audition to be part of the team, that criteria is very clear. And it's also because I think it's important that we put people in the place that God has gifted and skilled them for.
Yeah.
Because for example, if like someone is, you know, if they're applying for the worship ministry, but they don't have the skill for it, they could actually be contributing somewhere else where they are very skilled for it.
Yeah, exactly.
In ministry.
Yeah.
And yeah. So there's nothing wrong with setting those that criteria.
Those boundaries, actually.
Yeah. And then that's for letting people on the team. And then secondly, when they're part of the team already, what I said before about coaching, I think it's important that you identify the level of where everyone is at and that you are helping them grow from one level to another.
Yeah.
That's it. And then you grow in your skill together.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm thinking of like, you know, when Moses was building the tabernacle and you know, you all this, the Bible said skilled craftsmen who came, they were the best in what they were doing. So they were brought to minister and to build the house of God. And so we need to have that same level of excellence.
Imagine if the builders didn't have the skill.
Yeah. I wouldn't imagine what the tabernacle would look like.
Falling apart.
All the expensive gems would fall apart. Fall out.
Exactly.
As you're walking around. So I think it's, yeah, I think the difficult thing then as a leader is that you need to have these conversations with people. You need to be so secure in your identity in God.
Yeah,
you need to be secure in the vision for your worship ministry and what the function is for. It's not just a feel good, like, oh, let's just, oh, that's called a jam. It's not called worship. You know, you know what I mean? It's not, everyone on the team is a worship leader, not just the worship leader.
But actually, if you're not able to kind of like set the criteria and the standards of what is needed for skill, then perhaps as a leader, you struggle with the fear of men.
Yeah.
You're not willing to confront. You're not willing to speak truth.
Yeah.
You're more compelled by what people think about you because you're afraid to actually tell them the truth.
Yeah.
When you're afraid to tell people the truth, like, you know, say for example, they can't sing and you're, oh, yeah.
That's making people feeding people's delusions.
Yeah. Come on, but yeah. So what is actually fueling you to, you know, to not want to confront, not want to tell the truth?
Yeah.
Because as a leader, like one of the things you have to steward is the ministry that God has given you. You know, and so you need to set those boundaries. You need to prioritize what God has asked you to prioritize, and there is nothing. Okay, like that's why it's so important as believers. We have to separate our identity in God with the things that we do.
Uh-huh.
And especially for worship people, why it's so sensitive is because, you know, like we feel like creativity is such a vulnerable thing. My voice is who I am. So if you're criticizing my voice, you're criticizing me. Yeah, but okay, let's mature as believers, okay? Like, you are not defined by your voice. You're not defined by how you play your instrument.
Yeah, we love that you love to sing.
Yeah. So when the door doesn't open up for you to be in the worship team, it's nothing to do with your identity in God. You're still loved by God. You're still so valued by Him. And God closes doors and He opens the right doors for you to be in. So don't elevate worship ministry as like, oh my goodness. And it's such a seen ministry.
Correct.
And I think
the tendency. Yeah.
Yes. And I think if you like if you think like elevate. Worship ministry is all that.
The epitome
then,
of serving.
Then I would also I think you should reflect on why that you're is joining. So. Mm, yeah. Because you. Could it, I'm not saying that it is, but could it be that it is a very seen ministry?
Yeah.
Right. You're on stage in front of Like, is there a part of you that's motivated to join because it's a scene ministry, you know? And I think it's important. And something that we will cultivate in worship ministries is like that is the first thing that the first weed that we want to pull out of the garden. Yeah. That like when you're serving in worship ministry, probably the first criteria is that you enjoy being unseen.
Let that sink in for a while.
Yeah.
How to cultivate excellence in your team? You need to enjoy being unseen.
Yeah. That's good, unfortunately. And have the skill.
Both. And it, I don't think you need to be like, you know, Ellery's level of singing.
No. It's like, that's what I said. It's scroll. Just like, if you're leading a people, you need to lead them by singing on pitch. Yeah. Otherwise, if you're singing off pitch, you will confuse the whole congregation. Yeah. No, but you see, God still 100% loves you. Even if you can't sing.
Yeah.
But as a worshiper, worshippers are not, like, worship leaders is a different category. Worship leaders, now you have an additional responsibility to lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you cannot cause confusion to the people that you're supposed to lead. You're supposed to have the skill level to be able to lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. But God loves you as a worshiper.
Yeah. And I think at the heart of it is stewardship. So, you know, for those of us who are trying to move our teams towards excellence and to grow, I think a good way, angle to come around it is to say, like, are you stewarding the gifts that God has given you? Maybe this is how you play keys now at the moment, but, you know, are you really asking the Lord and seeing how you can grow this gift that God has given you rather than be stagnant for the next 10 years? You just always play in the same way.
Mm.
So very stewardship.
True. Very good.
Awesome.
Awesome. Hope that helps.
Very good.
We hope that you've been encouraged to steward excellence in your teams. Feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions. But, you know, I do want to make a plug for our Worship Mentorship School. We say this all the time, but honestly, I don't think there is a worship school out there in Asia that we know of that really goes after both heart and skill. And, you know, talk to anyone who's been to Awakened Generation, I think they would say the same. But, you know, you never know until you come and try it out yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. And even if you're watching online from overseas, you're outside of Singapore, we do have an online option for our worship school.
That's right. Do join us.
You should come.
We are raising up an army of worshipers.
Yeah. Steward your gift in excellence.
Amen.
See you next year in our worship school, and hope to see you at our online school and our worship school next year. That's all we have for Mentor Me. Bye, everyone. We hope that this Mentor Me episode has encouraged you and given you some practical handles on how you can grow your worship team. Until next time, see ya.